Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move! Oh,
LeBron James with no regard for human life.
12 seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! Iverson against Gill. The crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up? What up? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick Engvall, and I'm here tonight with my guys, Robbie and Mike. What's going on, fellas?
Not too much, man. Glad to be here with you guys.
I'm doing great, everybody. Thanks for asking. It's going to be a beautiful night of talking. Conversation, even.
Yeah, I mean, a lot to talk about with free agency going on. There's just so much in so little time. I feel like this is one of the best years ever for it. But before we get into that, just want to shout out Aaron M. Den for leaving us a review on iTunes. We appreciate you taking the time to leave us a review. We appreciate you guys listening, all of those things. If you do have a second to leave us a review, it really helps us connect with more people and grow the audience and grow our community here. So take a couple minutes, leave us a review. If you don't feel like leaving us a review, just hit us up on Twitter, Instagram. Tell us how we could make it better for you. What would you like to see? What would you like to hear? And yeah, we just appreciate you all listening.
Yep, yep. Thank you, guys.
Y'all rock. Sorry, I'm looking at a picture of the yawn issue. We've been talking about it on foot. Say, ah. It looks a lot nicer, but
yeah,
it does look better on foot. Definitely.
It's roping me in now and I blame Nick.
So other news stuff that I thought was interesting this, over this weekend. I mean, I guess we'll start out with the Yeezys 700 Wave Runner coming back again, supposedly in full family sizes. I'm not mad at it. I think this is kind of the future of, Adidas and Yeezy stuff. You know, Kanye always wanted to be available for everybody, and I think that the model actually fits the Adidas business pretty well, as proof. I would throw out the Ultra Boost, the first Ultra Boost being around for, you know, roughly 5 years without too much change. I don't know, what do you guys think? Have you had, or actually I should ask, do you guys own any Adidas Yeezys?
No, I have never owned a pair, seen a few in person, but nothing I really wanted to buy. The only one I've actually held in my hand that was for retail was the, oh my goodness, I cannot think of the name of those. It was like one of the many tan ones that they've had. One of the V2, I can't remember the name of the colorway, but regardless, I haven't owned a pair yet, but I'm really looking. If I buy a pair, it'd be one of these 700s. I just like the way they're built. You know, that's a chunky shoe, but they just have a little bit more detail than compared to like the 350s. And I'm just trying to get around that $300 price tag. It's the only thing that gets me. I think a lot of people probably feel the same.
No front. I literally was strictly against the Yeezy Boost when it first came out, because I like the principle of liking the Nike Yeezys so much. So I missed the wave of all the good ones I'd actually want. So now I see colorways drop and I flirt with the idea, but I never pull the trigger because they're really not, they're fun. And I see myself wearing them in situations like a great summer shoe, but I just don't see I don't like it enough to pull the trigger. Do you have any, Nick?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the V2 so much. I think it's just too simple of a shoe for me, especially at $200 or $220, depending on whichever ones you look at. But I think the 700 is the 500 I like. The 700, like all the 700s so far, other than like the, you know, fact that they're very similar colorways, I like the style quite a bit. But I do think the first version is the best, in my opinion. I actually like that they're, you know, making them and kind of just making sure that they're available to everybody, because it's going to force both the business on the resale side and, you know, the traditional marketplace to kind of react accordingly. And I'm curious to see what that will look like. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to the only downside to them is the price point, right? Cause you're paying so much, where most of us would rather have a couple pairs from somebody else rather than one pair from Kanye or from Yeezys. But
yeah,
on that note, like overpriced, okay, maybe that's a little harsh, highly priced Air Jordan 6 Travis Scott collaboration pictures kind of came out over the weekend. Better pictures than we've seen before, obviously, but it's kind of interesting. What do you guys think about that one?
It's cool. It's a good looking shoe. I like the 6. The only thing I don't like, the pocket on the side. I mean, I know that's kind of the running deal with these, this last couple releases, like the little stash pocket. But other than that, man, I like the color. It's going to sell out immediately like the previous models. But I think this is on the list of the Travis Scott. This one might be probably towards the bottom for me.
Man, I'm on a different side of the fence, because this is on the top, because it's just such – it's a reimagining enough of the 6 for it to be personalized to feel like a signature shoe. Like switching the swoosh around, that's cool. But adding like little stash pockets on the 6, it's like that Winnie the Pooh meme where it's like, you add one, it's like, okay, you add this, real nice. Like, whatever. But, I mean, like, there's been a million different descriptions with that picture, but it's like, okay. Like, it gets me feeling a different way. I think it's a bounce back, because the one was so popular, but actually earlier today, I saw the 33 at Buffalo Exchange. The Travis 33. It was $200. They were brand new, but they were size 15 and a half. No, 15. They were something like stupid size. And then like, oh, you can't even sell these if you wanted to. Like, it's just about retail or less than retail. So that didn't feel like a Travis Scott shoe, though. They literally just put a Cactus Jack stamp on it and said it was Travis Scott. Like, the 6 is a departure enough from the original to where I feel a connection to it, to the point where I will happily take that sneakers loss. So if you don't like it, you can enter the sneakers for me in my size, and I'll pay you a finder's fee, but I'm going to need that shoe. I like 6s.
Size 12, right?
Yes, 12.
I keep you in mind. When it comes out, I keep you in mind.
Yeah. So it's interesting. The 33 is interesting to me, because I normally really like the crazy technology that ends up in like the you know, signature Jordan model. But I thought that shoe could have been done better. And like you said, I thought throwing Cactus Jack on the tongue was a little, I don't know, a little lazy, I guess. But I also kind of admire that they tried to do a collaboration on the, you know, signature Jordan, because that just doesn't happen very often. I don't know if it's, I can't even think if it's ever happened. But yeah, like those, you know, what retail was like $185 for those, I think. And I think the last time I saw them on StockX, they were right around $200. So nothing crazy.
I think they were more than that. I think they boosted the MSRP up for this Travis Scott.
Did they?
Find out.
Yeah. I mean, it just, the 6 is, I agree with Robbie on this one. I like the design. I like the kind of obviously military inspired design from, you know, from Travis Scott, but $250 for a pair of 6s, you're kind of at like the tipping point for me. I don't know if it's worth it. Like, I will wake up and try, but I'm not going to be too invested in, you know, trying to get a pair. But I do think that it's really interesting that we continue to see like military inspired stuff on shoes when everybody does that. I feel like there's got to be other things out there that inspire fashionable people. Cause, I mean, I'm not fashionable by any means. I just like my t-shirts and my sneakers and my Dickies. But I think it's funny that like we continue to see these like very similar, like, you know, kind of like roughed up edges, olive or, you know, like brown, green, like throw a little bit of a accent color onto it. It looks good. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just wondering, like, can't we get to a different place with this where we're seeing something a little bit better?
You're right.
I think go ahead.
No, I'm disagreeing. I don't have a point other than that.
No, I'm just hearing that. I think it's almost like a safe way to ensure you're going to sell something. Like that military color pattern goes well with pretty much anything. And I think it's one of those things. It's like super popular. You know how popular camouflage is, and you know, streetwear world. Maybe not so much as it used to be, but it's still, you can go to any streetwear store, you can find something camouflage, no matter what store it is. If it's, you know, from H&M, something, you know, on a lower spectrum of a dollar, or you go up to, you know, something expensive, they're Off-White. There's something camouflage that someone has put on a rack and they'll buy it. I think that military inspired look is just kind of a staple, because you look at everything now. You have these utility vests coming out. You have, let's say, the shoes. You have the ACG stuff. It's super heavily military inspired now, and it's just I think it's just a timeless association with streetwear that's always going to be there. And it just so happens that a lot of Travis Scott stuff is on that color wave, at least, and like, and the construction with the pockets on the sixes and the, you know, stash collar on the ones. And actually it worked out perfectly when you look at the 33s, because of that, you know, that pool tee jet tab has that parachute feel to it. So I see what the thought is. It's going to be definitely, even with his namesake, this makes it even easier to fly off racks and fly off sneakers, just because it's like easy to wear.
Yeah, I mean, it does go with a lot of different popular palettes. So you're definitely right on that. But at the end of the day, it's like a conversation piece. If you know what it is, you're going to ask about it. If you don't, like you just said, when in that group pack, you wore your Jordans to work amongst people who wear cowboy boots and normal boots. So if people feel it's Travis Scott, they're probably going to have questions too. That's like half the fun in my book. Like, I really enjoy that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I think the pocket on the side is one of those things where like people are going to be like, what's up with that thing on your shoe? Like, and that to me, I like. I think that the thing about like the military stuff is I don't know, maybe it's like, just maybe I'm just old, but like I associate like military, anything military, as being like rugged, being like well-made, being like having to deal with like a lot of different, you know, situations. And so for me, and this kind of, now that I'm saying it out loud, kind of sounds blasphemous, because the six and the material on the six is like pinnacle Jordan to me, and like, don't mess with that like Nubuck, Durabuck, whatever it is. But I feel like if they went and did it in like a like super rugged military canvas of some kind, or, you know, some sort of, you know, I don't know, like, you know, Teflon's not going to be used, but, and keep the price normal, but, you know, stuff like that where it's like, okay, this is crazy. Like, it's going to be, you know, rough and rugged, and you'll be able to beat it up. And I think that, to me, I feel like that would play into this kind of trend of, you know, with the Jordan 1s getting beat up, and like the SB Dunk or the SB ones, you know, like having the different colors and people scuffing them up just to make them look different. But I don't know, maybe it's just wishful thinking and too much thinking.
No, I think eventually we're going to get to the point of where we're going to start trying different materials. I'm sure I would assume someone's, you know, in R&D trying these things. They just have to get the price point right. You don't want to be in that situation of, not to call out a brand, but I mean, Adidas is this 4D technology. You're still sitting at a $300 price point for something you're trying to make your next cushioning, your next material. And maybe they just don't want to release something that's going to be such a high price tag. And, like I don't know, just the break even is going to be ridiculous at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So switching gears, I'm going to throw this one to you, Robbie, because I know this is right up your alley. Looks like we got a new shoe coming. I assume part of a pack, without reading too much, just looks like a Naruto Adidas collab.
Man, you don't watch Naruto if you say Naruto. I'm
nope, sure. I don't.
But yeah, it's a very early look at an unnamed Adidas shoe. So it looks to be Boost based and have a really kind of thin, like definitely translucent looking upper. I've been trying to look for the past like 30 minutes what the name of the shoe is, and it has to be brand new. But if you go and look online for the Sakura Naruto Adidas shoe, you'll find them. They're kind of playing heavily into that point we talked about many moons ago about how you can take kind of two lanes when it comes to a tie-in shoe with a popular, let's say, a niche or a heavily fan-based property. And they definitely took like the Game of Thrones type route. So without the insoles being taken out of the shoe, you would never really know this is a Naruto-themed Adidas. There's a small nod to, I don't want to go too much into it, but there's teams in Naruto. So, like, the character's team is listed on the side. It says T7 for Team 7. And there are some characters on the aglets. Outside of that, though, like, you would have no idea that this is a Naruto shoe, and Nick could just want a new gym shoe and think this looks cool and never know the wiser. So I'm excited to see where they go. I know a lot of people, myself included, wanted to see more of a lean towards the fandom with the Dragon Ball Z drop. So I'm hoping that Adidas starts to pull out some more crazy ideas as we start to see more models. But Mike, I know you're a big anime fan too. So are these tickling your fancy, or are these a pass? What are you thinking?
No, it's definitely not a pass. I'm eager to see what other models are going to do. Honestly, I'm hoping they do a better execution with the full line. Better than they did with the Dragon Ball Z, because I feel like the best two shoes were the Goku and the Frieza of that the Dragon Ball line. And other ones were kind of on models that are typically found in, Marshalls, Ross, things like that, like the Pro Fears and some of those other ones that just they weren't selling. So I'm hoping they do something different, and this is a good start. You're giving us a shoe that no one's seen. They're not even giving us the name of the shoe. We're just getting like a picture of the silhouette. And I'm super excited. I'm a big fan of anime as well. So anything like comic book, anime, movie inspired, I'm here for it. I will always give it the benefit of the doubt before it comes out, just to see the full release, see the full, press and marketing photos of it. So I'm here for it, and let's see what the whole thing looks like.
I think it looks super dope. I'm curious what that silhouette's going to look like down the road. Last little bit of news, another set of Sakai, LD waffles coming out in a couple weeks, July 18th, it looks like. Basically looks like an all gray kind of tonal, and then a black and gray. Is there a third one, Mike? Oh yeah, the green one.
Yeah, it's like this, green, and looks like a raspberry and orange kind of color. I just don't know if they're going to end up. I mean, everything's calculated, so I don't know what I'm talking about half the time when it comes to this. But I just hope they're not going to just start pumping these out just like every couple months, and you're getting to a point of just kind of fatigue of the shoe. I feel like that those first two were so kind of, I don't have another word, almost like concept looking. They're almost like art pieces that I think those two would have been perfect. Because I saw pictures of this gray one. It was teased as the unreleased Sakai, like one that didn't make it through the approval process. But now, literally 2 days later, I'm seeing it as being released on 18. So I'm not a huge fan of the shoe personally. I respect it, but it's not something for me. But I just hope it doesn't turn into just we start seeing them every month now, and it kind of takes the art appeal away from me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can understand that. What do you think, Robbie?
I mean, the more you do anything, the less special it becomes. So I think if you're going to release more shoes under that banner, you need to diversify the construction and do something different. Like, I like to think that maybe after this release, this set of releases, they'll go back to the drawing board, maybe reconstruct or make additions to a different classic model. But man, I can't think of a better way of saying it either, Mike, but it really does. It's like take away from like, it's like seeing the Mona Lisa in person and then seeing it on a postcard. It's like, okay, cool. Like, this is played now. But can't even say it. The Mona Lisa's played. That's kind of like blasphemous. The principle you get.
Yeah.
I like the concept from the get-go, but it's not a style that I probably would end up wearing. I mean, if they were available and it wasn't, like, impossible to get, I might end up getting a pair. But, yeah, it is one of those things where it's definitely a delicate balancing act between like flooding the market because you know it's hot and just like stepping away because you don't want to like burn up the energy. But
yeah.
So
you're right.
Main thing we wanted to talk about tonight,
I
don't think there's anybody that doesn't want to talk about NBA free agency right now. So, obviously a lot of stuff going on. I guess like the main, you know, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving going to Brooklyn, Kemba going to Boston, Clay staying put, Jimmy Butler going to Miami, D'Angelo Russell going to the Warriors. What else is there? I mean, basically, we're still waiting for Kawhi. We're still waiting to see. Probably there's some people that are interested in DeMarcus Cousins, where he's going to end up. I thought I saw that Isaiah Thomas, just because he's relevant in the sneaker game, where he signed with the Wizards.
Washington.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting, surprising. There's a lot of guards in Washington, but there's also plenty of time for things to happen to move those people around. But so rather than just talk about, I mean, obviously we want to talk about these players and where they go, but I would like to put more of an emphasis on the sneaker side of these moves, because the fact that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both decided to go to Brooklyn, I think that makes the most sense for Nike more than anything. And it puts them in, you know, the biggest market in the world probably for sneakers. And I find that interesting. I want to know like how much influence that has on these guys deciding on where they want to play, because obviously, you know, guys like KD and Kyrie, with few exceptions, if there's, you know, salary cap issues or something, they could probably play anywhere they wanted to. So do you think they chose Brooklyn because, you know, the Nets are the future, or do you think they chose Brooklyn because there's more opportunity for them to make money outside of basketball?
I think both. The Nets, I can't think of their owner's name, but he has some of the deepest pockets in any NBA owner. And he, I think basketball side, they're going to be outfitted with some of like probably the best facilities, newest facilities, all that good stuff. But you're in the basketball mecca of New York City, so you're going to get way more exposure. They're going to get, you know, you're going to have billboards in every corner because it's New York. That's just how it goes. You're going to have your face everywhere. Of course, Nike's going to be able to put some crazy packages together with these two being in the biggest basketball city in the world. It's a good move, both basketball-wise, I think, for them, and business-wise. I mean, personally, I think it's just the effort. They're just trying to put, like, a Legion of Doom together to try to beat LeBron James. I feel like that's kind of their deal. But if I see a Kuji inspired Kyrie and KD, I'm going to buy them both.
What inspired?
Kuji?
Oh, okay.
Kuji inspired pack of next season already? Mike, giving away the ideas.
Hey, you know what? Nike, that one's for free. I'm here all day.
What do you think, Robbie?
I mean, I never thought of it from a combo pack idea, but that's genius. I think Kevin Durant was sick of hearing myself being one of those haters, that he just went and tried to take the easy way out. So Kyrie had a chip on his shoulder too. Can he do it without LeBron? Can he do it not in Boston? Because apparently that didn't work. So you had two people with things to prove and a blank slate to go prove it at. And they're now going to have, like, I'm now interested in buying Brooklyn products. Like those jerseys that Nike did that were inspired by Biggie, those are super cool. But I wasn't feeling one Brooklyn player enough to buy their jersey.
Same.
But now I mean, they didn't do this with LeBron and Kyrie, and they had that opportunity. So maybe they will this time. But you could have, like, a whole set. Maybe you get, like, the Kyrie jersey with the Biggie print and, like, a Biggie-inspired Kyrie shoe. Or the same thing with, KD. Like, they could do so much. And Brooklyn's way bigger than San Francisco. I know the West Coast doesn't want to say that, but if KD can thrive and find all these ventures in San Francisco, he can do that tenfold in New York. And Kyrie, I mean, in the limelight wise, doesn't have a really big portfolio of things he does outside of basketball. But shit, I mean, Anthony Davis already has a chip deal from going to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So Kyrie could, like, come and have a hummus deal or something. Kyrie hummus.
I think Brooklyn's probably more about the juices or small batch breweries. It's a lot more Portland than I think people realize. I mean, I'm picking on him, but I lived in Brooklyn for a year or two, and actually it's kind of crazy because I lived there when the Nets first started, and it was an incredible. I lived, you know, about, I don't know, six blocks up from the stadium, and
Barclays?
Yeah, from Barclays and off of like Washington, but it's like such a. It's such a crazy, awesome place. And I think, you know, to your point, like San Francisco will always kind of be my home away from home, but Brooklyn gives them so much opportunity to make more moves in that space, right? I also think there's a lot of, that, like you said, that it's impossible for KD to live up to anybody's standards being in Oakland, because no matter what, they look at it and they see Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and they think you just joined a winning team. And I think that hopefully, you know, like this move to Brooklyn makes it to where he's competing, you know, against the Warriors, you know, in the finals or something, you know, like something where there's that, like, as a sports fan, we get that kind of redemption from this future battle, right? But I think that if they're not thinking about, you know, like you said, Robbie, we don't see a lot of what Kyrie does off, you know, off the court other than, you know, Uncle Drew. But if they're not thinking about these things when they make these decisions, especially like, because the things off court, whether that's sneakers or, you know, investments or whatever, that's the stuff that's going to be, you know, that they're going to live with the rest of their life. If you don't sell your signature sneaker while you're playing and it doesn't become valuable enough to be retroed 10, 20 years from now, then I feel like you're missing a huge opportunity as an athlete or as anybody that works, you know, on their own, you know, say signature line of product in any way. But I think that the other piece to that, you know, with DeAndre Jordan signing with Brooklyn as well, the team's going to be really interesting to watch. And as much as, like, I know most New Yorkers are traditionally Knicks fans, I think this is going to be a really good thing for basketball, because even though the Knicks have, you know, been disappointing for forever and a day, it's one of those things where, like, when you have a very East Coast, West Coast kind of, you know, I guess, like, face-off when it comes to the finals, I think it's a more powerful selling point for fans to get into the product that's tied to the game, right? Like sneakers being the kind of the pinnacle, jerseys, like you said, like the Kuji inspired jerseys were super dope. And, you know, but like who were you going to buy a jersey of? You got to have the faces to want to support. You just, unless you're a fan of the team itself, you're not going to buy just like a random player that, you know, may only have a couple years with the team, in my opinion.
No, I mean,
what?
How many Cavs jerseys have the Cavaliers sold post LeBron?
Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah. Like none. Shout out to Kevin Love, but he's not moving.
Well, there was the news came out, it was official that KD and Kyrie were going to Brooklyn. It was ESPN, because I was watching a jump. One of the ESPN reporters actually went across the street, apparently, to interview the owner of a sporting goods store across the street from Barclays. And he was saying that he was super excited for product. He was saying they already marked down D'Lo's jersey to half price, and they're just basically waiting for KD, Kyrie's jersey to come in. And he was expecting a huge boom in business. Like he, it was Christmas for this guy. His whole life changed because these two superstars are coming to Brooklyn. Like, his whole financial, you know, outlook for his store has become something different now.
Game change.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. super dope. The only downside to it from kind of like my perspective is that the Nets just don't have like a unique colorway associated with them now. I mean, I love the, like, obviously black and white shoes are perfect in my opinion. But it kind of, it's good and bad, right? Like, I think if your team colors are outside of the norm of like all black, all white, white, black, you know, white, navy, those kind of colors, then it gives people a reason to buy potentially more, just to make sure they have one that goes with the team colors. But I think that's, like, you know, obviously not a huge deal by any means. I do think one thing on the sneaker side of free agency this year that's really interesting is Kemba Walker leaving, you know, the Hornets. Obviously, Michael Jordan being a part owner of the Hornets, Kemba being one of the Jordan brand athletes in this big campaign that just kind of rolled out the whole squad, what, like a week ago, and now him leaving to go to play for the Celtics is just really interesting. I wonder how that will potentially impact, you know, the relationship there. I'm not saying that they can't, you know, be adults about it and still move on and still have a business relationship, but it's kind of obvious to me the way that Michael Jordan has taken a handful of players under his wing, you know, under his wings through the years, right? You look at, like, you know, when it was the Bobcats and Gerald Wallace. Gerald Wallace was wearing all sorts of PEs. You see pictures of him sitting on the bench talking to Jordan. That kind of stuff seems to, it seems like that would be something that is at least a part of the decision, part of the conversation for Kemba and his team to decide to leave. And I wonder what that could possibly mean for the future of, you know, the relationship there on the sneaker side.
No more player exclusive retros for Kemba Walker. He's wearing Superflies from now on.
Nah, man. Michael Jordan knows what it is. He knows the Bobcats suck. It's been like, now the Hornets, that's how bad they are. You have the name. But like, he has to be happy. He has one of his, so think about it. Chris Paul really isn't elite anymore. Carmelo isn't in the league. Blake Griffin's on an island in Detroit. Victor Oladipo was hurt all last year. Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker are now teammates, and I would say without argument, the two best players on Jordan brand right now. So Boston's running this Jordan thing right now, which is, I think that's the more ironic thing, is how much that Boston, so for you kids who think Michael Jordan has never lost a game in his life, the Celtics owned Michael Jordan for the first, like, what, 5 years of his career, 4 or 5 years of his career. So the fact that Jordan Brand's biggest players are in Celtic green, I think that's more awkward than Michael Jordan losing Kemba as owner to the Celtics. So that's my take.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, it will be interesting to see how, you know, how it progresses, in my opinion. I mean, and obviously, like, I think the most interesting thing about this conversation, now that I'm thinking about it, is that we're not even talking about Russell Westbrook. and he should be like, you know, the pinnacle guy for Jordan Brand. And obviously, I think, I don't know, I don't want to, like, go down too much of a rabbit hole, but I think there's a real opportunity for somebody to be the face of Jordan. Because for a lot of the players that you're talking about, unless you're a dedicated basketball fan, you're not paying attention to those guys. And unfortunately, that, in my opinion, doesn't translate over into, you know, like, Jordan selling product, whether that's shoes, apparel, accessories, whatever. And that's a really interesting thing about the business of footwear right now, is that these guys aren't pushing a lot of stuff unless it's signature stuff. And then it's like, what, you know, cause I even thought of the, you know, the Hornets stuff. You know, Kemba did have some really dope PEs. I think, you know, there's been plenty of people that have had those PEs over the years, but I don't think any of them really, like, move the needle the way, you know, maybe a Ray Allen, or, you know, I would say, like, Dwayne Wade for that short amount of time, like, kind of was, like, had enough clout in the game, but also had maybe the longevity in playing in the postseason is missing for some of these guys. I don't know. It's just interesting to think about.
Mike. I was just going to say, like, I never thought about how small, like, if you're not into shoes or basketball and or the both of them, you really don't know who Kemba Walker is crossing the street. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that. Oh, go ahead, Nick.
No, go ahead, Mike.
No, I was following up with the whole Boston deal. I mean, they weren't going to offer Kemba the max anyway, from what I'm hearing. So, all jokes aside, I think they're gonna still keep him laced with something. You know what he's been doing. He's been pretty prominent in the Jordan 10 as of late. That's his favorite shoe to play in, from what I've heard. And so, I mean, with Jason Tatum, I think they're gonna have some pretty explosive players. Big market. I mean, Jordan has to know that Boston's a bigger market than Charlotte, even though he owns it. His business side has to kick in, and he has to know that, man, okay, new product has to go to these guys. And I mean, I'm not a big green sneaker fan, unless it's some of those Baylor PEs, but I can't imagine how this wouldn't be good if you start having some new colorways coming out, because you typically don't see Jordans in any real, except for what, the Celtic one, which you rarely see them, like the new Love one. I think that's going to be a pretty good look if you start getting some of these PEs released.
Yeah, I think the you know, like the Ray Allen stuff was obviously pretty popular for a while, but I don't think Boston is necessarily like the colors of the team are at least unique enough that, you know, they can, you know, kind of going back to my point about the Nets and just having black and white as their colors, having only, you know, you're going to have a black and white, whatever, Jordan 34, but you probably wouldn't have a green Jordan 34 unless you've got guys on the Celtics. Right. So, but that said, like the other interesting move, like Jordan brand related, is Jimmy Butler going from the Sixers to the Heat. And I think that's really interesting, because I'm wondering if the fact that, you know, in my mind, Jimmy Butler is, you know, I think he has like kind of his own shoes. It's not really a signature, but he has a, I forget what it was, Supreme something, Jordan Supreme or something. Was
Supreme Elevate?
Yeah, Supreme Elevation, right?
Yeah.
And I think that shoe, you know, is China only for the most part. But anyway, I think that it's interesting because, to me, this move makes him like basically the pinnacle top player on the Heat, right? Where as far as Philly goes, he's definitely, it's debatable whether he's the top, right? But from a sneaker / like branding, marketing, and social media thing, I think that, you know, you got to trust the process. He's like, Embiid is going to have the top spot on that team as far as the face of the team, right? And not that, you know, Ben Simmons and I'm drawing a blank, but Jimmy Butler can't stand out in that occasionally, but everybody knows Joel Embiid is like kind of the guy for the Sixers that they're, you know, wanting to kind of build around. And I think that makes it interesting. And like from sneakers perspective, you know, you don't want to be like, imagine, you know, like you look at the Warriors, right? The Warriors have Steph, who is arguably the top spot on the team. But then with KD, it's questionable, right? He's, you know, KD's going to get more attention in like the sneaker world, to me. Mm-hmm. Everybody else kind of goes away really quickly. You know, Clay has, we talked about it, Clay has some pretty dope shoes, and I think Steph's shoes are super dope too. But because KD kind of has this whole big persona and life outside of basketball that still helps him sell, it becomes, you know, very clear that, in my opinion, he's kind of like owns that space. Even though I would argue that, aside from like maybe the KD 12, like the last few shoes haven't been as appealing to me as, you know, his earlier signature shoes.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Back. I mean, that's definitely true.
First thing that popped in my head, though, when we saw Jimmy Butler going to Miami was the Dwayne Wade, the Flyweight 2 in the South Beach colorway. I just remember seeing that shoe on shelves at Foot Locker, just collecting dust and getting lowered and lowered and lowered.
Yeah, I'm sure Robbie can attest to a lot of those shoes. Was that when were you at Foot Locker or whatever then, Robbie?
The 5, and then I worked at Nike Town when the 3 came out. No.
Okay.
The KD2 and the 3. But yeah, I mean, those old ones, I blew through my old pairs, but those were just like kind of like with the Giannis now, right? They look better on foot. I think retrospectively we'll appreciate them more, but just high quality, low cost shoes that just like had a lot of style to them. I think the KDs kind of lost a little bit of individuality for a bit. Like I think from the 8 or like, yeah, from like the 8 to the 10, it was kind of a low point. No, 8 to 11. But then, yeah, the 12 has been a great hit. No, it's not the 12. It's the 11 we're on now, right?
No,
we're 12 now.
Yeah, 12 yeah, now.
My bad. Yeah, so 12 is picking back up, but there's definitely a dark point there for a bit.
Yeah. So a few other things then before we get out of here there in regards to the free agency that I think are interesting. Obviously, like, you know, I'm curious with where Kawhi and where DeMarcus Cousins end up. But I also think that that's hugely important for New Balance as a brand and Puma as a brand, respectively. The other kind of interesting but not relevant anymore was, there's two, right? Like Rajon Rondo never really sold a lot of shoes, although he did have a lot of good PEs. He's had Jordan PEs, he's had Reebok PEs. Now he's in his own signature shoe, probably like 7th or 8th year, I think, right? But
answer, right?
Yeah, but obviously okay. Hasn't signed with anybody. Probably will end up with the Lakers. And then it's just kind of funny that we, for the most part, don't even think about guys like Derrick Rose, who still has a signature shoe, but, you know, signed with the Pistons and, Detroit. You know, yeah, it just kind of, yeah. I don't know, I think, you know, D Rose's performance on the court and his like quiet personality has really hurt him in terms of like marketing, where Kawhi is kind of taking the opposite approach where like the reserved, like, quiet nature has turned into like a really cool persona for him. So I don't know, props to New Balance for, you know, kind of spinning that, I guess. Anybody else that you guys are looking at as far as like new teams or new sneakers coming?
I mean, the new sneaker I'm looking at right now, I mean, is no change in team. It's Donovan Mitchell's, the Don issue one. I'm pretty stoked to get my hands on that pair. I was telling you guys before the show that it grew on me more as I kept seeing more and more photos of it. And then once I found out that the first 4 colorways are based off different Spider-Man suits, like you have the red and gold pair, it's going to be the Iron Spider, you have the Venom pair, his stealth suit pair, and then, of course, the iconic red and blue, which is the first pair coming out here. And if not today, it's a couple of days from now. So I'm pretty sold on those.
How about you, Robbie?
Man, I'm looking forward to seeing Kyle Korver in some team basketball shoes. player of the NBA. I'm just playing. But, man, I just like seeing – I like to see kind of what happens with that whole Isaiah Thomas thing because he's been rocking Kobe Heat. I would say on the court, but he hasn't been on the court a lot, so on the sideline a lot. Yeah. So I like to see him get his shine because I would never hate on a man who obviously takes a lot of will to be that short and make it to that level. You don't get there on accident. So I wish him nothing but the best, but just to see some crazy heat. That'd make me so happy.
Yep.
So just to kind of express my sickness when it comes to sneakers. I know you made the joke about Kyle Korver, but I actually own Kyle Korver PEs from like 2008, I think, when he was with Converse. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I'm thinking now. I don't know why I buy so many shoes, but you know, this is a safe place for me. And I think that all of you listening can understand. So let's not judge Kyle Korver's sneakers. Let's just appreciate everyone's passion for sneakers here.
Man, that's a deep appreciate. Cut of a sneaker to have, man. Good Lord, I never would have guessed.
Yeah, I'm going to need to take that off your hand. But I mean, shout out to Kyle Korver for still being in the league. He's outlasted so many people. So
yeah,
I can't name anybody.
He's what?
He's a shooter, man.
He's a 03, 04, right?
The year after?
Yeah, you're after LeBron, right?
So Chris Paul's draft.
Man, he's hanging around, and he can still get it, man. Like, he can still shoot. He can still be a good role player. Like, where's he at now? What team did he get?
No, he's
Lakers, the free agent. You know, he's another Lakers, though.
Oh. Well, I'll be representing him.
It's the LeBron effect. But no, he was 03.
Yeah, that's LeBron, right? Yeah.
That is LeBron.
That's crazy.
Dang.
Shout out to Carmelo Anthony, though.
51st pick.
51st pick?
Yeah.
He's going to be telling his story. That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Right?
That's crazy. So. Man. I think that's a good spot to wrap up, but I would love to pose the question, like, what's like the most obscure sneaker that you have based on like where a person came from in the draft, right? I think every shoe for the most part is like top 10, top 20 draft picks. Are there any others out there that have, you know, whether that's signatures or PEs or whatever, that are that far down? I would love for people to challenge us on this one. Maybe we need to do some research. What do you guys think?
I think Matt Bonner, New Balance.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Still things are.
He's the exception. All right. Well, we got to get out of here. But as always, you guys can follow us on social. Why don't you guys let them know how they can find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me, Mike Guillory, on Sneaker History. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, under MadWatcher789. You can also find me trying to find these purple camouflage foam pods just to give to Robbie.
All right. you can. I mean, they look like Lil Wayne base sweatshirt shoes. But, you can find me on the internet at RAHBEE702. Nick, where can they find you?
At Nick Engvall, NickEngvall. More importantly, at Sneaker History. And if you haven't listened to the previous episodes of the podcast, make sure you do, because Robbie sat down with the guys from the Colorways event going on this weekend in Portland. And it was a great interview. And I think that everybody should take a listen to it this week. And if you can get to it in Portland, you should.
Yes.
Come find me. I'll be wearing a Sneaker History t-shirt. I think I have a couple of them. So I can keep changing my shirts all weekend. I won't smell. You can come say hi.
Absolutely. No, it was a good interview. So I'm hoping that people enjoy it. So that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch y'all next time. Peace.
Bye.
What up, y'all? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I want to ask a few favors of you. First off, if you're still listening, I wanted to thank you for supporting us and continuing to listen to our podcast. If you're enjoying it, and I'm going to assume that you do if you're listening this long, please take a couple of minutes, head over to iTunes, drop us a review, leave a comment, make sure you're subscribed. It's the only way that we can really continue to grow our audience and reach new people and continue to grow the podcast. Second thing is, if you haven't already, head over to sneakerhistory.com/shop. You can pick up t-shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, and some other miscellaneous things. And all of these things
go to help us continue this podcast and continue the site and just pay for miscellaneous expenses that come up. We're not trying to make a killing off of it, but it would be awesome to have your support. And who knows, maybe run into one of you on the streets one day rocking a Sneaker History t-shirt. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.